let her rip. Well, Don, yours is on the record, right?
Well, as you know, you got... Welcome, everybody, to the Patriot Alliance with my host, my co-host tonight, Don Lowry, Mark Boyle, and myself. And anybody else that wants to Skype in, please do. Right. Look for, Don, should they Skype in at your end, or does it matter?
They can. What they can do is, yeah, they can look for either Contra Radio, or they can Skype me, Underground. I think it's Underground Talk Show.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, no. And then I can add them from there.
There you go. So if you want to Skype in, feel free to join us. We're ready to roll it tonight. So what's the topic?
Skype in.
Well, what's the topic for tonight? I don't want to do the new Green Deal because Don just did an episode on that, a conservative underground, so I just want to kind of let that one mellow out there.
Yeah.
So what else do you guys want to do? What other subject shall we?
Well, you know, me and Don talked a little bit about the border problem. Not any solutions yet.
So well, there's a solution.
And yeah, kill people.
Yeah.
It's a wall.
Put the troops on the border and give them something to do. Don't just, I mean, last time we put troops on the border, we put them down there as pencil pushers. They couldn't do anything. We tied their hands behind their backs. I mean, we have the greatest military force in the entire world. And you put them on, well, I guess unless you declare an act of war or something. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, use the National Guard.
What'd you think of my, build a fort all along the border, like 2,000-mile fort just for driving real fast, like a NASCAR track.
I think that's genius.
Because then it's a fort. Nobody could argue about it. States can't even argue about it.
Why don't you tell John about that and see what he thinks about it?
Yeah, it's just saying, well, you know, we got a military base. Of course, they jumped the fence there, too, so it doesn't stop them. But if we had like a, I don't know, 5-10 mile wide strip all the way across the border from one side to the other and call it a military base. And then they can drive their tanks and shoot shit. Have a great time.
Be like Death Race 2000.
They awesome. Could have they could have the C-131 Starks up there, you know, puff with the magic dragon. They can be up there practicing. Ooh. And shooting and all that good stuff. And it's on a military zone. You wouldn't have to worry about, you know, eminent domain or any of that stuff.
No. And then it's the end of story as far as all the Bleeding Hearts go.
And then they instead of calling it the demilitarized zone, call it the militarized zone.
The remilitarized zone.
Well, the South Koreans have that along the DMZ. It's a civilian-free buffer zone. Yeah. No civilians are allowed anywhere in the buffer zone at all. And if you are there, you better have a damn good reason for being there. But, yeah, I mean, again, or, you know, if you want to do that, give her, like Don said, give our troops something to do, like string lots and lots and lots of concertina wire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Make it big, make it deep.
Right, mm-hmm. And then the Border Patrol wouldn't even have to be around. They could save their money for the Sheriff's Department.
I'm just thinking that, you know, all a wall says is that you can't cross here. If you want to cross, you come into the ports of entry.
Yeah, it's like Walmart, right. You know, I know where the door is, so that's where I go in.
You go in, or you can go out, but this is where you do it.
Right.
I guess if you want to go through the window, you could. I don't recommend it, but you can. I mean,
Walmart's, you know, racist, just like America.
Mm.
Don't joke, John.
Wow.
So
racist.
We tried to get a, you know, at least a first part of the... the program going on the problem, and then maybe we could work on some of the hype next week, and then some solutions. But
solutions. Well, you want solutions? You're so silly.
I know. Childish.
Imagine that, somebody actually coming up with a solution to a problem.
Well, you know, and the problem is we can't figure out what the problem is. I think, like me and Dom were talking about, it's like you have a border, we let in 1 million people a year, and after the 1 million get in, they just want to run the red light. So it's,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, so that's where you need some kind of line, and then you need the Border Patrol right on the border within visual sight of it, to where you can, they have jurisdiction, they can interact with them, And then let the sheriffs handle everything that doesn't get seen. That, you know, if once they're on American soil, they're citizens. So arrest them as a citizen. You know, I've never been carded and asked for my citizenship when I got pulled over for racing back in the 80s.
Okay, John. John, you as a law enforcement, former law enforcement specialist, I know in the state of Arizona, if a law enforcement agent stops you or detains you and asks you for identification, you are required to produce identification. Is that not correct across the country?
No. Every state's different.
Okay.
All right, this is the paradox. And don't ask me why I didn't write the laws.
Why, John?
What happens is this. I stop you. I ask you for your driver's license. Okay, you say, I don't have a driver's license. I could ask you, who are you? And you could say, I'm not telling you who I am. Fair enough. But because you've committed the traffic crime, then you are not required to tell the police officer who you are. However, when you get taken to jail, and you will, you go to jail, you are required by law to tell the corrections people who you are.
Uh-huh.
Has it ever happened? No. Most people will either, one, say, some people will tell the truth, I'm suspended. Okay, fair enough. You know, we do our thing and off you go. Or they'll lie and they'll tell you there's somebody else. You know, they'll give you a fake name or whatnot. In which case, eventually, you know, sometimes you catch up to them, sometimes you don't. But generally speaking, that's the way it is. The Supreme Court's already ruled you don't have to tell a law enforcement officer who you are. Now, if it's a federal agent and you give them a false name, well, now you just lied to a federal agent. Now you got some real issues. Now you got some real issues. Yeah. And it's like, you know.
You're like,
but.
Well, I mean, that goes back to what John's, or to what Mark is saying there, you know, about if they come across, you don't see them come across, you stop them. What's to say, I mean, how do you know they're illegal unless they fess up and say, I'm an illegal? That way you process them as an American citizen through the justice system, right?
Do you want to give them that status?
Well, you have no choice.
They pretty much already have the status, right?
If you're going to arrest them as an American, well, that's not true either. Let me think about that. I was going to go with that line, but now I'm thinking, well, you've got people that come in all the time, whether it's on a visa, student visa, visitor visa, you know, the steal, rape, rob, plunder visa. So are they required to, good question. I don't know. I've never worked with Border Patrol. I can't even begin to answer that question. And
well, most of the guys I talk to that say that if they're out on patrol and they're away from line of sight of the border, and they come up on you or me or Don or Jaime Juarez, they have to assume they're a U.S. citizen because they couldn't come up to me and start asking me, you know, show me my immigration papers because I would sue them. So that's where the problem starts to fall apart, is if you didn't see them cross the line, then now they're maybe not a U.S. citizen, but the law enforcement, as far as Border Patrol, has to treat them as a U.S. citizen.
Well, they're afforded the same rights as American citizens.
Right.
And that goes with whether you're illegal or not. If you're in this country, you get the same, you know, not the same rights, how about the same protections as an American citizen?
There you go.
You get the same protections.
Right.
That brings up Mark's point, which I think is, you know, if you don't see him cross, you know, I said, I don't know how it works. I just don't have.
They just jump across and run like hell. Because Border Patrol is 50 miles away. I mean, they got guys on the ground right around there, but.
Still, you know, it takes forever to get there.
Yeah, the odds of them seeing you step across and break the law. You know, so, you know, Ramos and Compion, the two Border Patrol agents that ended up in prison for a while, when was that, about 7-8 years ago?
Oh, I remember. Yes, yeah. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. And the reason they went to jail wasn't because they shot the guy in the butt, but because they assumed he was a drug dealer, and they assumed he was an illegal alien, but they shot him on this side of the border.
Yeah.
So presumption of guilt.
It was the assumption that that he had committed a crime without any probable cause that got him in trouble, mm-hmm. not because he was an illegal. So,
yeah, because our justice system says that you're innocent until proven guilty, and they went on the assumption that they were already guilty.
Right, and I guess they hadn't seen him drive across the border with his carload of drugs. So, you know, that's the problem. They're not seeing the crime be committed, so therefore you can't investigate a bank robbery if you're in another state. You know, you had to see something happen. John's got his thinking cap.
What I'm thinking is this then. Well, that's why you have the drones. Now the question is, you know, the drones, you get the automatic feeds. Now the question, I don't know. You could probably use the drones. Yeah.
But even then, you have to be able to
use
your accuser and then say, well, that's not me. I mean, it looks like me, but he's Mexican.
Well, they're always going to make that. They're always going to make that argument.
Yeah, so I think Border Patrol should just be on the border. If they don't have line of sight, then they're
Here's a question for you, and I can't figure this out because I've seen a lot, and I do mean a lot of film from security cameras and all that good stuff, and I have a little drone toy that I fly that shoots 4K video and has amazing video resolution. And, you know, I can see, and it's just incredible. And then every time you see law enforcement footage or bank footage or something, it's grainy and you can't make out nothing.
Unless you're on live PD.
Is it a toy?
Yeah.
Is it a toy, Don? I mean, if it was over $500, it's no longer a toy. It's become a hobby.
So in that case, it's the Mavic Pro. I actually have the very first DJI Phantom that they came out with, mm-hmm. and then I have the second generation, and now I have this one. So I actually have three of them, and this Mavic Pro is pretty good. It's registered with FAA and all that good stuff. In fact, for those of you that have drones out there, be aware that the FAA just filed a new ruling that you must put your tail identification number on the outside of the drone. It has to be visible on the outside.
That went into effect, just 5-6 months ago, didn't it?
Yeah, not too long ago, but, I mean, a drone flying at 200 feet in the air, you're going to see a tail number on it? I mean, you can't even see the drone.
I guess if it crashes through your window.
Yeah, see, my drone, if it crashes, it's registered to me. You can go to the website that I've got it on the drone, and it'll tell you who it belongs to and the whole nine yards.
And you're buying a new window.
Company. That's kind of how it works.
Yeah. Well, before I forget, I wanted to welcome the NSA to the broadcast tonight. Hey, thanks, guys, for listening in. Would you guys would Skype in to us? We got questions. We want answers. Well, and I'm going to be...
Don, they're probably tapping into this. They're at the
FBI. They are. They know who Don is.
It's their FBI is there, and so the network, and so is the CIA surveillance van is there. So both networks
are... They could clear all this up if they would just hop on board.
I agree. Just come on board, guys. Now, for you listeners out there, I'm in the padded cell next to these two, so that's why we got the Patriot Alliance. So,
I'm in the secure underground bunker.
I'm in my dining room.
Is that what they told you it was?
Well, you know, Mark told me a story about a guy that was talking to him about his bunker. Tell him the story that you told me.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to one of the big cement companies in Sierra Vista, and he goes, we built a lot of really big, complicated bunkers.
Oh.
He goes, I can't tell you where they are, but he goes, you know, we got a lot of money here, and people buy these. And so I was talking to one of my buddies that's, you know, retired military. He goes, I got a really nice bunker. And I go, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come over your house and I'm going to start popping rounds off. And then when you run into your bunker, I'm going to weld the door shut and eat all your cows. And he's like, that's really a messed up thing. Think about it. You know, that door don't open once it's welded shut.
It's welded. That's funny as hell. I'm going to weld the door shut.
We could do that in Washington if we could just still get them all to scurry down into their rat hole for about a couple hours. We could just lock them up and forget about them.
I'll tell you.
It would be like murder because they can last 5 or 6 years down there as long as they can't get out and screw stuff up.
Right. You can't communicate. You can eat, drink, whatever it is. You guys can screw each other over instead of screwing all of us over.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Mark, you posted a meme today And it was, I liked it. It was very informative. I don't know if you saw it, but it said, in the socialist countries, this is their tax rate, what they pay in taxes. And then it went down, and it was you know, I think it was broken down by like income tax, how much they pay in income tax. And it most of it,
the VAT tax.
The VAT tax. And then came the gas tax, and the only cool thing I had with it was, in Europe, they buy their gas by the liter, not by the gallon.
Right.
So, and I'm thinking, but it wasn't anything major, but it's just that I picked up on. I was wondering
if the math had been done by the liter,
right,
just to show us by the gallon, or
multiply it times four,
times that, or whatever. There's what, right, 3 liters in a gallon, or something like that.
Four, I think it's 4 liters to a gallon.
Yeah, so that,
because
would be,
1 liter is
$24 a gallon or something. And some,
it's ridiculous. It's outrageous. But I think the main point of it was very simple. Greece paid 62% tax rate.
Yeah.
For their free stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the bottom line is, if you want a high service government, you have to pay for it.
Exactly.
If you want a low service government, you don't have to pay that much in taxes. So, and that is really what the takeaway was.
And what do we have? A no service high tax.
No service, high tax.
Well, I mean, you have to ask the question. I mean, how much of your hard-earned money are you willing to give up to the government?
I'm willing to give up a fair amount.
Sure.
But just because I made good choices, and I have a living, I made a living, and I got paid wages just like everyone else, why should I have to keep giving a large part of the money that I've earned to people who don't want to work, who are generationally and perpetually unemployed? You know, it's like, where does it end? When isn't, you know, yeah, I listened to AOC screaming, when is it enough money? Well, you know what? That's a great question for the government. When is it enough? When is it enough?
Exactly.
When do you pay enough? And that, you know, that you could, I said, I get it. We got to have streets. We got to pay for the street lights. I get that. And
sure,
I'm willing to pay my fair share.
Right.
But for people that don't do anything, who've made poor choices in life and screwed their life up, why are you raising my contribution to cover their living expenses? Their family, you know, should be covering their living expenses, not me.
You know, when I owned the carpet cleaning business, I know Mark can probably attest to this, I used to pay quarterly taxes, okay? Because if I didn't, at the end of the year, I got hammered real hard. So I paid estimated quarterly taxes. And every quarter, I probably, in one check, sent more money to the IRS than most of those bleeding heart libs down there at DES on welfare, screaming that I need to pay my fair share.
Well, really? Rush Limbaugh mentioned that a long time ago. He said if every American started writing a check every year to their taxes, there'd be a revolution, but they take it out so incrementally that you don't really feel it. You know, it kind of becomes irrelevant.
And now
it does.
You know, I'm already seeing it, and you're going to see it more and more as tax season moves on. Trump did say that he was going to lower taxes, which he did. And people are bringing home. I'm sorry.
She's listening in.
I saw John do that, and I was like, whoa. So, but people are bringing home more money. But what they failed to do is they failed to go to their employer and say, hey, you know, I need you to withhold a little more money out of my tax,
right,
you know, out of my paycheck for taxes. And so what's going to happen is, you know, when they go file their taxes, they're going to find out that they end up owing more money because they got more money back during the year.
Right.
And that's going to be Trump's fault, and they're going to raise Cain with Trump over that. But, you know, it's your responsibility to tell your employer, hey, I need you to pull more withholding taxes out of my paycheck because I'm bringing home more money, so now you're going to be in a new tax bracket.
Or what they could do, and this is a tip for all you working serfs out there, is this.
I said retired.
Yes. Do this. If you want to do that, and what Don's saying is correct, so if you want to do this, you can make the IRS tax withholding an enforced savings account for you.
There you go.
But they don't give you interest. They charge you a penalty, but they don't give you interest.
You know what? Go take your money and tell me what the APY is in 2.0%. It's like, but at least this, look, you're not going to go to jail. You're not going to lose anything if you don't open up a savings account. This way, at least you're always covered, and at the end of the year, whatever you didn't use, you're going to get back.
Right.
Right.
So you could kind of use it that way. Look at it that way. It kind of makes it a bit more palpable, if there's such a thing when it comes to this. No. But here's something that I'm sure you guys thought about it. I know within my heart and in the deepest recesses of my soul, the U.S. government cannot account for every dollar that it's taken in.
Of course not.
There's massive amounts of money missing. Mm-hmm. They don't know where it went. They can't account for it. And the biggest black hole is the Department of Agriculture. And we need the Department of Agriculture. I've got no problem with them. My issue is...
I do, but I don't even know what they're for, but...
It's to hide money.
Oh, okay.
It is.
In a big pharma.
Well, actually, the Department of Agriculture is the biggest department there is. It's so massive when everything what they do. I mean, Department of Agriculture does mortgages. Don't ask me why, but they do. They can. Wow. And my point is this. I don't have a problem paying my taxes, but use my money wisely. You don't even know where you're missing money, and you and I can't do that. If I'm missing 20 bucks on my wallet, I'm going, did I get drunk last night? Did I go out last night? What did I do with that 20 bucks? Where'd it go?
Oh, and
the IRS will find it.
To the government. Yeah, don't forget to report it to the government. Mm-hmm. Because heaven forbid you forget to report something to the government, because next thing you know, you'll have the IRS knocking on your door, and they'll be auditing you for the 40 years past, 40 years down that's already gone by.
That's ridiculous. I know. I just look, I don't have a problem paying taxes. I understand it serves a purpose, but come on.
Yeah. You know, can we opt out of some of this mindless crap?
You wish you could.
I agree with you, John. I don't mind paying taxes because I understand that, and it's constitutional. It is constitutional. However, what I have a problem with is where do we draw the line? Is 40% too much? I mean,
yes.
How much?
Yes.
Your government go down. That's the question. And most
way
people,
down.
Me down. Okay, yeah. But the Democrats. They need higher taxes to pay for all of this crap that they want to implement into the government. You know, all this grant money and all... Grant money, there's one. I mean, you got grant money. You got people that are paid to sit there and pull money out of the government for projects, stupid little projects here and there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we buy the radio station. We get a grant.
You're a genius.
We'll call it something dopey.
Do what we got to do.
Never mind, I'm not going to say it, man.
Well, you know, we could say that it's
for a
flatulence project.
Don't laugh. People got paid for that project.
Oh yeah, like how much did they spend to figure out how a frisbee flies? And it's like, well, a six pack of beer is how it flies.
That's my whole point.
Day in the park.
Stupid money into taxes for dumb projects like this. I mean, corporations, these windmills, that half of the developers went broke. Remember when Obama was giving all his grants?
Oh, the Solyndra thing and all that? Yeah.
Yeah, and they all went broke the next month. Millions and millions of dollars. And how does a company, John, if I gave you $1 million today, how the hell can you go bankrupt?
We wouldn't have him on the phone right now. He'd be gone.
I would live off the interest to begin with.
Right.
$1 million a day is a couple hundred bucks a day. I can live on that. I've got no issues. No, I get what you're saying. And let's be honest about it. Some of the green energy products or companies that they spent on, like Solyndra and some others, and it was very simple. It was a payoff to the appropriate people.
Right.
They said, here, we're going to give you all this money, but I can't give it to you directly, so you set up this company, we'll funnel it through there. Oh, I'm bankrupt.
Right.
And going up to Don, that goes to Don's point. We gave you $100 million. What the hell did you do with it? Where'd it go? Well, we had to do this, and we had to do that. Bullshit.
Fort Huachuca, a few years ago, John, or Mark will remember, put up that windmill over there in Garden Canyon. Now, first of all,
it's a pretty looking windmill.
You have eight different canyons that come down into Garden Canyon. Okay, so this thing
is it a garden?
Turning directions at all times. Well, what happened was, first of all, when it came, there was a problem with it, so they had to wait for the right part to come in from Sweden, which is where the manufacturer was from.
Because we don't know how to make them.
They spent all this millions of dollars, right, on this windmill. It was a two-blade, like, 13-megawatt windmill,
like,
or whatever.
It's like one of them spinny things, huh? Like,
Yeah. So, but then what happened was, it ran for, I think, 3 days, and then I think the motor burnt up in it or something. And it sat there for a couple of years, because what happened was the manufacturer went broke. Okay.
Gee, imagine that.
They had nobody to do any kind of warranty repairs on this thing. This thing sits up there for a couple of years.
If you make a piece of machinery that lasts 2 days, you're going to go broke.
Guess what they just did? Here about a month and a half ago, they brought it.
Tore it down.
And they didn't tear it down. They burnt it down. They fell it like a tree. Literally. They brought in a salvage company that cut the bottom of it out. They pulled it over with a truck and fell it like a tree. Unbelievable. Your tax dollars at work.
Is the United States incapable of producing anything in the world?
Yeah.
Listening to Washington, yeah.
We are.
The American government, the American people, the American worker can produce just about, can make anything that we need to be made. We can.
We are the best at everything.
We've got the machineries. We've got the knowledge. We can do it. Why are we going overseas to get a part we can make here? And that's, again, got to ask the government. Why do they have to buy from this company? I'll tell you why. Because
the labor unions.
But in Switzerland, their average cost is $25 an hour for minimum wage. So, I mean, we can compete with that, can't we?
Well, what I'm saying is, so China, all right? Well, you have all these goods coming in from China. Because
they're all crap.
iPhone. You can manufacture an iPhone in
Android.
China. In the United States,
Android.
The labor unions are demanding so much money for minimum wage that the companies can't afford to stay in business. So they have to outsource it.
Yeah.
Because of the labor unions. Go to McDonald's right here in Sierra Vista. They have already, they're replacing the humans with the automated order machines.
And every time I go in there, I go to the kiosk just to be an ass.
Because the employees
so do I.
demand $20 an hour for a minimum wage job.
Minimum wage, in case you're listening or not quite sure, minimum wage was never ever meant to be a wage that you can live your life on.
Right.
It's the bare minimum. It's for the kid in high school to go flip burgers on the weekends or whatever. If you're going to try to raise a family because you're flipping burgers at McDonald's, good luck.
Yeah,
exactly.
And if you started at McDonald's, then by the time you had a family, you'd be making really good money if you stuck with it.
That's true.
They don't want to climb the ladder. They just want to land on the ladder.
I want to get paid. Okay, here's
Show
your 10.
Money.
Here's your 7 and a quarter an hour. Now get out of here.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying about it. About the labor unions, I'm so torn because I was a labor union rep.
I am.
Yeah, okay. Yes, we know. You and your pressed wood furniture. We gotta deal with Don and I don't know if you wrestled with it, I did. And that was, look, at some point in time, we can't keep going and asking for 2 or 3% raise. We can't keep doing it, because eventually we're gonna price ourselves literally out of the market. If you could.
And unions are always like this with management. Those are the two things that fund a business. You got to have labor.
This is how the companies break the unions. The companies break the unions. by saying, okay, the union say, okay, you get a 3% pay raise every year. So the company says, okay, health insurance costs 3% raise increase every year.
They've done it. You know, we had to deal with that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, on the other hand, you know, I think that we look at the union. Don left. He's going to go puke.
I'm here.
I thought you had to go puke in the corner.
To get his union rep.
I can't take this crap anymore. But, you know, you end up with their unions serve a purpose. And let's face it, we've all worked for supervisors who were abusive or were mistreating the workers. And they do need a protection. I get that. I understand that. And one of the things I've always told our people, if you're a new hire, every new hire got a copy of the union contract we had with the county. Know this, read it. If there's an issue that happens, come see one of your union reps. We will deal with it. We'll take care of it. And I gotta say, all of our supervisors came from the rank and file. So when we came to them with something, they would rather, you know, they say, let's deal with this in-house. I don't want to take it downtown to the sheriff's office. Let's deal with it right here in our division. And I'll tell you, 90% of the time, that's the way we did it. And it worked.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the only time it didn't work, and this is the truth, and the bottom line is, when management called a deputy out for violating policy or doing something they shouldn't have been doing, and the deputy got caught, then it's all poor me, poor me. And it's like, hold on. And 90% of the time, management was right. And that's the way I looked at it. And I told these guys, if you get caught doing something you're not supposed to, I'm going to let you fly in the wind.
Right.
I'm not putting my butt on the line for you, neither is the union. If you did something you're not supposed to do, just go in, throw yourself on the mercy of the court, and hopefully you won't get fired.
Now, that goes down to say, it depends on how well you negotiate your union contract. Because,
that's true.
All right, if you have a lame-ass union representative that, you know, caves to everything the company says, which is what was in my case. And
right.
Then, you know, I actually had an issue with an individual, and I went to my union representative, and the union says, oh, well, that's a labor, you know, that's HR. We're not getting involved in that. And I'm thinking to myself, see, that's why I'm paying you my union dues, is to protect me, and now I'm coming to you for protection, and you're telling me you're not getting involved. I need to go see HR?
No, we had an issue like that, and it was with one of the big name labor unions. And at one point, myself and my partner went to see a labor attorney. And I said, "This is what's going on." He says, "All you gotta do is use this phrase, and you'll get their undivided attention." And the phrase was, "If you don't start enforcing the contract, we're going to sue you for failure to."
Uh-huh.
Represent.
Yeah.
Failure to represent.
It's amazing how semantics work so well in the legal system.
Yeah.
I was talking to a park ranger a couple years back, and I said, well, I want to stake a mining claim.
Who does mining claims? This isn't 1849. What the hell are you talking about? You want to stake a mining claim?
You could do that in your state. It's 40 acres for a plastic
mine. You don't want to come up. You want to come up here? Go ahead.
No,
come on up here.
No.
You tell me how lovely it is outside.
Well,
oh, come on
I'll
up.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a member of GPAA, and yeah, we do have some claims here. So,
yeah.
Mining claims. Who the hell stakes a claim?
She told me, she goes, "Well, it'd be illegal to camp on your mining claim." And
why?
I said, "Oh, well, I want to stake a mining claim so I can go prospect." She goes, "Prospecting's fine, so I can be on public land, have a mining claim, and stay there for 5 years. I don't have to move every 14 days." But if you're camping. So, but it's just semantics,
right?
Because you're still camping, right? I mean, call it what you want.
Mining
yeah.
claim.
And every state other than Texas and Alaska.
Every day.
Every state besides Texas and Alaska, you can have a mining claim.
It's pouring down rain outside. Oh.
Is it raining? Hey, I wanted to ask you something before we go down.
Yes, it's it's cold.
Well, yeah, we know that because here's my outside temperature. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah, here. Can you see this? Can you see that? That's for you. Can you see that? Can
it's
you see that?
It's pretty cold down there at 1 degree. Shit.
Hey, John, not only can we see it, we can hear it.
I wanted to ask you, John, because I sent you a text or a message at one time.
What's that?
Since you got to go through the joys of the polar vortex, you know,
God.
As a prepper, you know, it's not like it was the end of the world, thank God, but now that you're hunkered down for a couple of days, is there anything that you would sit there and go, you know, next time in my preps, not life or death, but that would make it more enjoyable, I guess, bearable?
Okay.
Red licorice.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay. No. Okay. Seriously, you want to know? There are many homeless people in Chicago. Yeah. When it gets down to like 20 below zero and the wind chills another, you know, adding another 30 degrees colder, they tried the city and I see again. I won't have a problem with the tax money being spent trying to round these people up and get them to a warming shelter so they're not dying on the street. But many of the homeless,
they won't go.
But they've also, and this is the key, the answer to you, they have learned to survive in that kind of weather. They layer up. They lived in tents on Lower Wacker Drive. And, you know, I hate to, you know. So a lot of times they'll get volunteers, they'll go, and they'll hand out McDonald's hamburgers to them, so at least they got something warm. And a little something in case you didn't notice or don't know, a lot of homeless have pets, dogs and whatnot, and the homeless take wonderful care of their pets. The pets will eat before they do.
That's their electric blanket, basically.
Well, think about it. Yeah, exactly. You know. But they take wonderful care of their animals that they have. They may not be much to look at, but I'll tell you. They layer up. They've been doing it forever.
You, like personally, like if that was like the end of the world scenario, and you were doing fine in your retreat.
I would die hating Illinois.
But I mean, you know, so you got plenty of food, you got your generator, and you're okay. But is there anything lacking that you'd go, boy, you know, I should stock up more on coffee here? You know, just things that get overlooked because you know you're going to survive with your MREs.
But. Yeah. You know, I when you're looking back on anything more, yeah, you know what? Blankets.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just blankets.
Lots of blankets.
You know, well, one year we had, it was in January some years ago, our furnace conked out. We didn't know it until the wife came into the room. She says, "Is it cold in here?" I said, "Yeah, it is." I thought, you know, and we both
now
looked at,
oh, good. Breath. Yes.
It's like, oh my God, yeah. And then we realized that, you know, well, it was old and it clunked out, you know, and we went and got the high efficiency furnace. But the thing of it was, we had blankets. I just wish we had the proper ones. For me, the proper blanket is the big wool, 2-pound, 4-pound wool blanket. The Israeli military makes great wool blankets, and that's what I've got in my camper. I got four of them in there, and they're heavy, and man, they're great. So I say blankets, and in terms of, you know, food or drink, yeah, water. Because I'll tell you, I didn't want to go to the store. I didn't want to go outside there for anything. And I realized, yeah, we go through more water. You will go through more water than what you realize.
Oh, yeah.
You really do. You truly do.
Even when you're cold and not sweating, you will get thirsty.
Yeah. You got to drink. You got to rehydrate, especially because all that moisture.
How many of you guys watch like Naked and Afraid besides me?
Oh. We're not talking about my prepubescent sex life.
No. Just the movie on Discovery Channel.
No, because that stuff's all made up anyway, I think.
Well, you know what's funny, though? I'll be sitting there, you know, crying about water. And the night before, it rained for 17 hours. And it's like...
They held it down there.
Even, like, get a leaf out there and get a drink.
Well, I mean, you guys saw Bear Grylls, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's like, he's out there, it's in the middle of the desert, and I'm thirsty, and there's nothing to drink. And then you hear the cars going by, and the cameraman pans around, there's a highway right there.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're thirsty, go find some water.
Yeah,
exactly.
Have water with you.
Yeah, the survival shows are a crack up, but...
Yeah, man.
I just always think it's funny, you know, it's like there's stuff all around, even in the wild, if it's raining and there are no cars by. And then they're all huddled up bitching about the rain, and the next day they're like, we got to get water. It's like 7 million cubic pounds of water just landed on them last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, lay outside with your mouth open, for Christ's sake.
If you have to.
Yeah.
Or better yet, why don't you strain up your poncho or a tarp or something, catch it, and...
I'm waiting for the solar flare, man. I'm waiting for the day when the solar flare comes, and I'm telling you, these kids today are going to be on their knees crying.
No, they won't. They'll be dead.
Cell phones. Yeah.
They'll be dead.
Within the first year, 98%.
And for those of you who don't believe the sun spits, we have solar flares on a daily basis.
We do.
Notice them.
Well, yeah, the only reason the Compton event that happened in the 1800s didn't take us out is because we didn't have any electronics.
Right.
But it set fire to the line that went under the ocean.
Yeah.
It went about 100 miles. It melted underneath the ocean.
See? So, where was the EPA then?
Yeah, they were screwing up because it probably killed a lot of fish.
Or what about the, what about the asteroid that's spinning out of control and slips by one of the cameras that's not looking in that direction and hits the Earth?
Yeah.
Well,
and for those of you who don't believe it can happen, there's, on average, there's massive
near misses
on the, well, there's impacts all the time. You just,
oh yeah,
affect you.
We get hit right by black holes too
daily. On this country, on this planet.
Yeah. Well, that's why I did that five things that'll end our world and not even know it's coming, you know. And asteroids are one of them.
Yeah.
I still want the EMP. I'm a sick bastard, but.
No. You are a sick bastard. That's why you're in your padded cell.
I guess that's why. I guess I'm a sick bastard too, then, because that's the one I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because all these little gadgets are gone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you know what?
I mean, I would miss all this, but.
Yeah,
get
me
over
too.
It pretty quick.
Oh, hold on. We all grew up without cell phones, without computers.
Yeah,
we turned out all right. Well, mankind has lived longer without electronics than we have with them.
Yeah.
I just had a, what do they call it? I don't think it's called a deja vu. But I just
Epiphany?
I just had an aha. Yeah, that's it. Because I was going through the Green New Deal today in the program. And, you know, one of the things that they're putting in there as one of our rights, you know, is utilities. Heat, air conditioning, electricity, internet is a right, according to these people. Well, okay, what the hell happens with a solar flare and you don't have internet? You don't have your right anymore.
Well, you have the right to go out and buy internet.
No.
But they want to give it to you. See, they're saying that it's a right that the government provided.
It's right. And therefore, it's supposed to be given to you at no cost. If there's a solar flare that comes out and takes out the internet, what happens to your right?
I'm going to learn Spanish just so I can get all that free stuff. Like, Don speaks Spanish really well.
Dude,
no, I don't
have to.
No.
You don't even have to learn to speak it. Just change your name to say Paco. You're golden.
My niece calls me Jorge. So.
No, habla inglés. That's all you have to learn. And change your name. You're golden.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do, you know, if I drank, which I don't. But, you know, if I was going to get pulled over for a DUI, I just throw my wallet out the window and then say I stole the car and start saying I don't speak English. I get a free trip to Tijuana. I get drunk all weekend. Come back. No DUI.
Yeah, man.
What's the problem?
Yes.
So you don't remember what you did for a weekend? You've had those weekends.
Have that usually every weekend.
I didn't say that. I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. You're drunk.
You're drunk. I'm stuck on coffee now.
Yeah. I'm stuck on coffee. I'm up all night dialing 1-800 numbers. Listening to infomercials.
Oh my God.
I love them things. What are you talking about?
I do too. some of the infomercials are really good, actually.
Well, can you believe that somebody can talk an hour and a half on an infomercial about something and not tell you a damn thing about it until you buy it?
Okay, honey.
I did.
Remote and grab the phone. We're going to bed.
I did it. I buy things. Infomercials are most successful between 1 and 4 o'clock in the morning because people are up, and for some reason they decide this is a good product.
This is their
defenses.
That's the best apple slicer I've ever seen. I don't even eat apples, but I had to get two.
Right, in case one breaks.
you get two for the price of one. Just pay separate processing and handling.
Which
and
is
the processing
price
costs more than what the thing you're buying does.
Yeah, I love that scam.
I want it. I want it all.
John, that's what we could
there's
do.
More.
We could just give away free CRN stuff, but they got to pay shipping and handling.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
$15 for a t-shirt. It's free.
It's free. Oh, it's free?
Yeah.
Well, the Democrats will love it.
Yeah. Shipping and handling.
It is what it is. Well, yeah, it is what it is.
Not taxable either.
And it's true. Shipping and handling has cost so much anymore, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Unless you're a Prime member.
Nah, I'm a Prime member.
Yeah. Are
you? Look, I love Amazon. I do. I'll be the first to tell you.
I hate Bezos, but love Amazon.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what? Great idea. He jumped on it.
Yeah.
I wanted to go along for the ride. It costs some money to go for the ride now, I'll tell you that.
Right.
It's massive.
Hey, how's our timekeeper over there, Mr. Don? He's Mr. always keeping me on time.
We got 15 minutes to go.
Oh. 15 minutes. That's what I got.
I did see
some of the latest trade agreements between the United States and China, and it does appear that President Trump has done the impossible. He sold rice to China.
Guy's a great negotiator, man, I tell you.
You tell me.
Oh,
he
man.
Sold rice to China. First time ever.
That man could sell a broken refrigerator to an Eskimo.
He probably has. I'm telling you. When you sit there, think about it. You show me somebody in Washington who's more adept at negotiating than the president. No one I know. And I bet you he's got a lot of people in his personal circle, and they're all great negotiators.
Oh, yeah.
And yet you got people in government who think that they know what they're doing. No, you don't. That's why you're in government. You know what they say? You know, you can either teach or do. Those that teach...
Can't do.
Yep. Right, that's right. And those that can, do.
Right.
There's something to be said for that.
And Trump needs to fire all the non-doers out of his administration, and the liars, and get a new team of people that are loyal. I mean, I'm not asking for a blood oath, but...
Give me some loyalty.
At least have the president's back.
Stone.
I agree.
Yeah?
I agree.
Stone.
That's why he's sitting there in it. Holding pens somewhere.
You know what? That's going to blow up on the feds.
Roger Stone is a great American patriot.
He is.
Yeah.
He said, "I refuse to incriminate the president."
Yeah. To save
God
my
bless
own
you,
skin.
Mr. Stone.
Right.
You know, if Trump did something wrong, then fine. But you know what? I like what Stone said. He said very plain, "I'm not going to incriminate myself to save my own skin."
That's right.
That's a true American.
Yeah. It's respectable.
And it's the only thing that Trump's done that pisses off the Democrats is piss off the Democrats. Did Don tell you that we got a call from the president a couple weeks ago?
Did you know?
Yeah. He called.
Did you know?
Live on the show.
And said?
I don't know. Mark was rude to him.
Were you drinking again?
Well, he's got a good personality, you know.
But that's why you're in the padded cell next to me.
Is that where we are at?
And we all have padded cells.
That's why we call it too crazy.
But I don't have a cool shower curtain.
You don't? Well, go ask Hillary. She wears them all the time.
I have a green screen
maker.
Yeah, yours changed. You had a different one last week, wasn't it?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, he's got the green one.
A green screen.
When I process it, I can put whatever image on the screen that I want.
Well, put something up there. I want to see it.
Can you do that with the Skype videos?
No, I have to do it in post-processing.
Oh,
but even
cool.
with the two images side by side like they are with Skype, you can do that.
Yes, they could put our names down there.
Now, see, if both of you had green screens, then we could put it all whatever we wanted. But I like John's background. That's cool, man. I think we all need to get those backgrounds.
I think John should buy us all one since he's, you know, got
hold
to
on.
Retire.
Oh, hold on. I have to go bend over again. Hold on. Fuck.
We're not all retired chief of police, you know.
Oh, yeah, like, you know. I tell you, I was at that part in the law enforcement when being a cop was fun.
Yeah.
And actually, you got to do things. And as time, you know, did my 26 years, I saw law enforcement change. It got more restrictive, more restrictive, more restrictive. Yeah. And of course, I got to tell you, being in the sheriff's office, well, the sheriff's office is political by its very nature because you get a new boss every 4 years.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, you get somebody in there who might be a bit more liberal or might be more conservative, and it's like, and that's why every sheriff's office in the country limps along. It never is really progresses the way it should because it can't. It can't. It's, you know, it's just the way it is.
You ever watch Blue Bloods with Tom Selleck?
No.
That's a kind of a cop family. It's pretty cool. Of course, it's got Tom Selleck, so we watch it because it's Tom Selleck.
I get it.
Yeah. Quigley Down Under.
Yeah.
Another that was not show. That was not bad. That was not a bad show. I just no. That's, actually, I just got done watching that series Counterpoint on Starz Network.
Oh,
huh. That's pretty messed up, but it's good. I don't now. I'm boycotting the Oscars. I'm not watching the Oscars.
Yeah, no. Nomination.
I will watch MeTV before I watch the Oscars. But I like MeTV.
Teletubbies before I watch the Oscars.
Same thing, isn't it?
No, I got to tell you something. The Teletubbies. My daughter, I had to watch that stupid ass show for hours on end because my daughter liked it when she was like one or two, and I'd sit there and watch it with her, and I was like, "Oh, for the love of God, give me something more mentally stimulating, anything."
Well, there was Sesame Street when my kids were little, and I wanted to strangle Big Bird.
Oh, Big Bird needs to die. Yeah. No argument.
Yeah.
The fact that you can end this episode, Big Bird needs to die.
didn't the writer for Sesame Street come out and say that Ernie and Bert were gay?
Yeah, but Bert and Ernie have been around since, God, the late 60s.
I know, but they weren't gay back then.
Yeah, but they were puppets. They always had something. Never mind.
They said something silly. I think myself, when I see Bert and Ernie, I think of The Odd Couple.
Yeah.
With Oscar and Felix.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Look, people say and do things nowadays to try and make themselves more relevant, more hip, more accepting. Case in point, we got that moron Smollett. And if you missed my last episode, go check the last episode of the Jeffers Brief. Louder with Crowder just tore him a new
it just
one.
Before I came in here.
Were you giggling your butt off? Because I know I was.
I heard.
I was cracking up.
The first thing that came to my mind was how low the Democrats can be to come up to pull something like that out of their hat, man.
He still created more jobs than AOC.
Yeah.
He created, what, two jobs, right?
Two jobs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost, what, 25,000?
Oh, God, what a disaster. Hey, good. You get what you vote for.
Maybe they'll build it in Arizona. We could use the work.
Well, we have an Amazon going up here off of Kolb.
Yeah, but it's not a headquarters.
No.
Isn't Amazon headquarters in Arizona already?
There's one in Phoenix, isn't there, I thought.
I thought that's what I thought. You don't need two. You need one.
Yeah, how can you have a headquarters when you got two heads on a snake?
You know, James Wood was right when he said Smollett would have been just fine to let two innocent white men sit in prison. He would have been just fine with it.
Yeah.
That's how moral he is.
Yeah.
And praise God that wasn't the issue.
I was shocked how well the PD handled that by digging down and not just ignoring it and going, well, you know, everyone hates Trump.
I know, and Chicago PD to top it off.
Yeah. Because you'd think they'd hate Trump, but maybe the men in blue are actually starting to learn that if we don't start supporting conservatives, everyone else wants us dead. So the only people that really support the blue line are conservatives.
And roughly.
You know.
Roughly.
Everybody else, Black Lives Matter, everybody wants them all dead. So they better pick a side and start going, hey, I kind of like these conservative teabaggers.
The time is coming, boys and girls. The time is coming.
Yes, it is.
When you will have to, you can't sit on the fence. You're going to have to let them know where you come down.
Right.
I think the Superintendent Johnson of the Chicago PD, that was probably one of the best press conferences I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked pretty good, man.
Yeah.
And he called it like he saw it, and good for him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys get some of the stuff that we have up here. Probably not. You guys got Tucson. You got your own Chicago down there.
Absolutely. You ain't kidding there.
One of the things that the black community, some of the black people in Chicago, the citizens of Chicago on the south side, who were rightfully PO'd that all this attention is being given to the Smollett case, when in fact, all we're really talking about here is finding a false police report and some other nonsense.
Right. Yeah.
When we have unsolved murders going on the south side and the southwest side, and look, I get it. So they're swamped. I get it. But why does Smollett's case get priority? Well, he's a Hollywood person.
Hollywood, but then too, once they figured out that it was a false police report, which really damages America's justice system and the lying that went on. I think I was shocked that it did get so much coverage, but now when you see it was actually pretty damn important.
MSNBC and CNN are already covering for Smollett, saying, yes, he lied, he was wrong for doing it, but we support him because he was morally right. How are you morally right by faking a lynching? You do such a disservice to the victims, to prior victims of true lynchings that happened in this country.
If I was in Chicago and I robbed a Circle K, but my family was hungry, would you just let me walk because it's so morally right?
Come on, guys. Don't you know that, it's morally right because it was against the president?
That's right.
Forgot about that one. Damn.
But to go back to Mark's point, and they asked us that question at our oral board interviews when I first got hired. They say, you're at a grocery store, you're a deputy, you're a law enforcement officer, you see a woman, an older woman, who's not dressed to the T's, she looks kind of shabby, and you see her pocket a package of bologna. What do you do? And I thought, I remember that because it stuck with me. And the right answer, so to speak, if there is one, would be just let her know you saw her and then offer to buy it for her. Because if she's stealing a package of bologna, she's hungry.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's true, man.
So go spend, offer to buy it for her. You don't have to arrest her. And if she is having problems, do you know how many resources we can give to her so she can get food assistance?
Well, see, you went through the academy back in the day, though, when they weren't teaching this myopic view of, SWAT team, no knock.
Oh, God.
I got a friend that's retired, DPS officer, and he said some of these rookies coming out of there now, he wants to shoot them himself. And he went to the academy, they taught him social skills and how to defuse a situation and how to handle it.
Interpersonal communication skills are so, so important.
Yeah. But heaven knows that we got to send in more FBI agents than we sent in to Bin Laden to go get an unarmed man at his house on Saturday, mm-hmm. at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
Speaking of grainy video, do you remember watching that sorry-ass video of Lavoie Finnegan getting shot?
Oh, my God.
They could have Skyped it from a $20 drone at Walmart, and it would have looked better.
Mark, I commented on that when it happened, and my point was, when they say, this is the only video we've got, I'm thinking, BS.
Right.
The federal government didn't have any cameras anywhere, and body cams weren't quite to that point yet where you got. I mean, they were. I mean, they were literally just. I don't, if they weren't invented then, they were not quite out to the field yet. But I'm sitting there, and I told all the listeners on CRN. I said, "This is nonsense. It's BS. They've got the video.
Right.
They've got the video."
That drawing, you could tell by the angles and everything. You know, it wasn't that high. It wasn't like, you know, up 10,000 feet in the air. That was, you know, they could have got better images.
They do have them.
Yeah.
They do.
Yep. They only let you see what they want you to see.
Right. Yep. What happened, John?
Straight up 8 o'clock.
Well, 9 o'clock. We got to leave.
I got to get out of my padded cell. It's time for my 1 hour in the yard.
You get some time.
And it's raining on top of freezing ice, the 1 hour that you get to go outside.
Well, let's see. Let me check here. That's still 42 here.
Good fucker. I hate you. I hate you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, I'm going to try and find an opening for the show. Let's see. I just want to see how it goes here. We're averaging, all of us, we're getting well over 100 downloads for each of our personal shows. So it is working. It does work. It's getting out there. This will be the second one. Normally what I do is this. I don't know if Don does it or Mark does it. And what I do is this. After I post a show, I keep a tab on it for an hour to see how many downloads. And generally, we're getting an averaging between 24 and 26 downloads that first hour a show is posted.
Yeah, I do that just because I got an ego to stroke. But
oh, me too. We all do. That's why. Well, that's why we do it.
But you know, I was listening to some motivational thing on podcasting and stuff, and he said, you know, a lot of people think, well, getting a couple hundred downloads, big deal. Could you imagine standing in front of a room with 200 people in it? That's like giving a talk at a conference.
It really is.
And they're choosing to be there, so we gotta, you know, I'm appreciative as heck, you know, of the people that keep coming back.
So I was looking at my stats today on Podbean for Underground Talk Show, and hold on, I was looking at it. I just got on Spotify, and not too long ago. And
does that mean I'm on Spotify too now that you're doing two crazy guys on there? Or?
Yeah, you will be.
Awesome.
Spotify is my number one producer of listeners at 26%.
Wow.
Followed by Apple, iTunes, and then others is like, you know, when people go to undergroundtalkshow.com or whatever. That's actually the biggest one. That's at 31%. But Spotify is second. But out of all of them, Contra Radio Network is my biggest, is where I get most of my listens from.
Yeah.
So we have the smartest listeners.
Jeffers.
No, sir. No, sir. Thank you, because you helped me. You know, we have, CRN has the smartest listeners. I'm telling you guys.
Amen.
And now we finally got into India. We finally got into Japan. You know, we're starting to get around the globe again. It took forever after Blog Talk Radio, but we're starting to get there. So that's good. Look, I enjoy it. I know the listeners enjoy it.
We got it in Japan, two or four now?
I checked it, 3 days ago. I think we're at just two downloads.
That's awesome.
That's all it takes.
Two more than you had.
Yeah.
And we're in a new country.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always surprised to see, you know, from Ukraine, and of course they're probably hackers, but you know, but
they're probably saying, "Oh, we learned how to kill Americans."
Alaska, you know, I was like clicking on the map and going, that's
"Right,
cool, you know, Australia." Yeah. Is always
what is going on in Connecticut? Connecticut, we have over 600 downloads this so far.
Is that the home of the NSA? No, that's Salt Lake, right?
No, NSA is out Fort Meade, Maryland, but. I don't know what's going on in Connecticut, but they're going hog wild. Massachusetts was going hog wild like 3 weeks ago. Huh. Massive amounts of downloads.
Awesome.
The Canadians, our Canadians are starting to come to us now. They're starting to listen to us.
Cool.
You know, we're starting to South Africa. I know who the guy is in South Africa. Great guy. Australia, New Zealand. Julian in Australia. He talks us up all the time. He's a great guy. I used to get him on Blog Talk to call in on Skype, but it was bizarre because he was like, he's a day ahead and like 8 hours ahead of that. So he had to call like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon
like
to catch
us. Like a
time
traveler or something.
Oh, he is. Julian is. He's a great guy. But he's been helping us out in Australia for a long time.
That's awesome.
The Reunion Islands.
Now, how are we doing with KYAH? Michael say anything on as far as, I don't even know if they do.
I don't know.
Do they have
what I do is, I email, what the hell are you doing?
Phone.
I can't take it now. Oh. So, anyways. No, KYH just got to email Mike and just ask him. I don't know. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cool. Anyways.
Awesome.
All right. Well, until next week. Now, when are you guys doing your show again?
We got to figure out next coming week.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm on flight crew Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I get off noon Thursday, so we could do it Thursday afternoon or any time during the day Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. But it has to be during the day Friday because Friday night I have constitution class.
Haven't you learned all that yet?
Yeah, but there's always room to learn more.
Oh, look at that.
Here we go. You got to have something like that.
I got one somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
Okay,
somewhere.
I got a bunch that look like that one.
I have that one.
Yeah, that's it.
And I have.
He has the new abridged edition of the Constitution.
Yeah, I got the one with the coloring pictures.
I have a couple of different ones, and then I have a whole bunch of other stuff that were written by constitutional experts, and I'm not an expert. But
the beauty is, you don't need to be an expert.
No, what's beautiful about that, too, and then people are like, oh, it's too complicated to read. And it's like, well, you read the Bible, and there's like 200,000 words in that, and it's written in the same English.
I don't know if you guys paid attention like I did to the Kavanaugh hearings.
Which one? Which day?
Well, every day. Because every day that man had the Constitution in his hand, and you could tell it was a well-used Constitution. That man knows this book.
Speaking of that book, you listeners out there, I've got a limited supply of U.S. constitutional little pocketbooks. You want one, get a hold of me, and I'll send it out to you.
Right on.
I'm not even going to charge for it because it's your right as a citizen. Every citizen should be carrying it with them.
That's what the government should be giving them away.
They should.
Just pay
when you graduate,
John.
What? I missed it. What?
Just pay shipping and handling.
No. I'll pick it up. I'm a great American, damn it. Sean Hannity said so. All right, guys. Let me fly out of here. All right, guys. Good talking to you.
All right.
We'll see you next week. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.